Thank you, Jill. Yeah, what she said about the conference, I was absolutely just wanted to follow up with that and say, yes, this is absolutely a God time where God is going to knit us together as a church, as the community of God for this time, for this day, and what God has planned for us and where he wants to lead us and guide us and kind of usher us into what's next. And so we have really high expectations, and we really, really want every single one of you all to be there because you are part of the body of Christ. You're a part of this church. And so what I want to do right now, if you have your phones, we can all register for this event right now. And I'll walk you through it in 2 seconds. If you want to just pull your phone out, I'll show you how easy. Just go to the Cornerstone app if you have it. I'll give you guys just a second to do it. All right, everybody get your, some phones are a little slower than others. Cornerstone app if you have it. And then when you get to the Cornerstone app, you're going to touch events. Okay. Man, mine's not working slow. You know, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, how frustrating it is when something is not instantaneous. I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes about our faith. All right, well, mine's not working, so I'm going to have to use somebody who does. All right, Phil, yours work? Yours is still loading? See, look at this. We're all on the same network together, and we're all, thank you. I'm going to, Corey, I'm going to register you. Okay, is everybody at the place where it says 22? You see the numbers 22? Anybody to the events? And the number's 22 under events. That's February 22nd. Okay, we'll take our time. There's no rush. We're going to find that God takes time to develop things. All right, everybody there? Everybody touch 22, February 22nd. Not going over well. With my phone. Oh, you got that. Okay. See, it's not coming again. Mine's doing the same thing. The touch interface of the phone is not very... Is everybody else is not responding very well? Awesome. Okay. Awesome. You're good. Okay, so then you want to go to events? How did yours not do this? This is a completely different face than all of ours. This is great. Oh, this is giving us an eye open into what's actually happening with this app now. You don't even have an events section. He doesn't even have an events section. How does that not even have an events section?
I don't know. I didn't know that.
All right. And so then when you go to events, you're going to click on 22, and you're going to... Yes. And then, yes, Lord, got it. Oh, man. And then all you have to do is click on buy ticket. All right. It's a free event. We are not charging for this conference, so it's free. You buy it, you just have to click buy ticket, and then you just register in, and we'll be able to see where you guys are at. But, that's amazing that Fabian's doesn't even have an event section. That's fantastic. Great. More things to do this week. Awesome. Amen. Well, this morning, all right, so we're registered for the event. We're going to see you all there, and cast it out to your friends as well. It's going to be a great time. Hope to see you there. Amen. All right, we're going to continue on in our series this morning called The Journey of Faith. And if you recall, we've been kind of traveling through this as a journey. We're looking at the different terrains that our faith takes us on and what it looks like and how we are to live our lives in the moment. Like, what is the purpose of each terrain, different terrains that we face in life? And this morning, we're going to be talking about something that is essential, absolutely essential to every single one of our journeys of faith. It is absolutely critical, and that is two words, patient endurance. Patient is not a word that I love, okay? And I'll share a little bit about that with you in just a few moments, but patience is not something that that I'm great with. It's that fruit of the Spirit where I'm just like, always God, come on, and he just keeps giving me more and more opportunities to be patient, and I'm constantly like, well, I didn't see that there. And so, God, I wasn't patient in that moment. I need to be patient again. So, but patient endurance is absolutely needed in faith. Hey, guys, can you please stop talking? Thank you. And so when you think of endurance, what do you think of? Just when you think of the word endurance, what pictures or words come to mind? Running, long distance, hanging there, good. Hard work, good. Not giving up. Anybody else? When you think of endurance, buddy, working, very good, yeah. And other words like plowing through adversity or resilience, all right, and perseverance, these are all correct words that we use for endurance. They're all absolutely important. But this morning, I want to focus on the relationship of endurance that it has with patience. Patience is a key word when talking about endurance. And if you look through Scripture, you'll see that Scripture uses these words interchangeably. That there is a very, very, very slight difference in the word, difference of the word of patience and endurance. There's a slight variation. So it's to endure is to be patient, and to be patient is to endure. All right, the Scripture uses them together a lot, and that's what we're going to look at this morning. I wonder if patience is something that often gets overlooked in our day and age. I think it does, and I think it's something that we would all say is something that's valuable. It's listed in the fruit of the Spirit we see in Galatians. It's something that God wants us to develop. It's something that God wants us to demonstrate and manifest in our lives. We would even say that patience is a virtue, right? It's a behavior, or it's a quality of righteousness that we ought to show. We would all agree that it's important, but really, how patient are we? But more specific to the point of this morning's message, how patient are we with the things of God? How patient are we with the things of God? How patient are we on this journey of faith? In a world that's all about high-speed internet and fast food, right? And when your high-speed internet is not going well, I don't know anybody else, but when my data is slow on my phone, that is the most frustrating time. My wife gets more frustrated with me. I just thought I'd throw that in there. My wife gets frustrated. We get frustrated because it's not instantaneous, right? There's this on-demand, instant results kind of mentality that has seeped into every corner of our lives. Gotta have it. On-demand. Instantaneous. Retailers now are having same-day delivery. You can have something delivered to your house the same day. Smartphones, they have these apps that eliminate the wait for anything. Did you know that you can actually order, if you're just thirsty and you want a candy bar, if you want a 20-ounce of soda and a candy bar, there's an app that you can just say what you want, and it'll be there within 5 minutes. This is an instantaneous, on-demand, when you want it, gotta have it, it's going to be mine. And because of this on-demand type of mentality, it's really developed us into very impatient people. And not to just to cause, you know, a disparity or anything, but I really, I'm kind of like on the a generation that's on the a bridge generation. Do you know what a bridge generation is? Where it's like I've got hands in both ends of the camp, right? I know the generation that is all about technology and instantaneous and on-demand stuff, but I'm also very familiar with the need for patience and to let something develop in life, and I see those both hands. But I worry a little bit for the next generation, for my kids, where this on-demand nature is kind of seeping into every corner of their lives. Because what is going to be happening is they're not familiar with patience. Patience is not something that is familiar or consistent with our lifestyles, and it's becoming less and less consistent with our lifestyles. And so there's this instantaneous, on-demand mentality that has developed us into becoming very impatient people. But what we're going to see in just a moment is how essential patient endurance is for people who are journeying on the journey of faith, on the travel of faith, on the path of faith. Patient endurance is absolutely needed. Waiting for something to develop is something that is foreign to the next generation, even to a lot of my generation as well. It's inconsistent. And it makes you wonder that if we are people who are impatient, say, about these little things like our phones, and when it's not acting the way we want it to act, how much harder is it going to be for us to be patient with the bigger things of God? How much more difficult if we can't be patient with the small things than when God is trying to develop something and to produce something in the waiting, are we going to have the patience? And the trouble that we find ourselves in is like we're always in a hurry. But God isn't, right? I find that to be such a troublesome thing. It's like, we're always in a hurry, but God, you never are. That's frustrating. Does anybody else feel that way at times, or am I awesome? Good. We want things now. I want it now. God, I want your promises now. God, I want your financial blessings on my life now. I want your healing that you promised in my life now. I want those people that I've been praying for saved now. God, I want to see deliverance in this area of my life now. But the truth of the matter is that God often, the purposes of God are often developed slowly because his grand design of things is never hurried. I'm going to say that again. The purposes of God often develop slowly in our lives because his grand design and how he created things is not in a hurry. Take for a moment and just look at creation. Look at the patient endurance that God integrated into creation, the natural creation. I mean, look at how long it takes for a tree to grow, from a seed into a full-grown tree into where it's producing fruit and developed fruit. Look at the time that it takes for rivers to form. Look at the time that it takes for our earth to rotate around the sun. Look at the time it takes for the changing of seasons, right? We get impatient. Oh, I need spring now, or this and that, right? Look how long it takes for that. Look how long it takes for an infant child to become an independent adult ready to sustain themselves. God has embedded patience into the natural laws of creation. I find that amazing. He's embedded patience into the natural laws of creation. And I'm convinced more than ever that time is a boundary that God has given us in life because of our need for patience. Time is a boundary that God has given us in our life because of our need for patience, trusting him in the waiting. To be able to trust him in the waiting and the character that produces and the faith increasing that produces when we trust God in the waiting and this boundary of time. The world that we live in is structured, it's constrained by time. I don't know if the constrained is the right word, but it is a boundary that we have, right? And so we're each on this journey of faith, and we're trying to search for the most value in the time that we have. And mistakenly, what we've done is that we have associated efficiency as the value of time. As if I can cram as much as I possibly can into this hour, or if I can cram as much as I can into one day or this week, then I would have gotten the most value out of my time. Right? But that is not how God established time. Cramming everything in and working ourselves to death is not the understanding of the value of time. To understand the value of time in which God establishes to know patience and to know endurance. To know patience and endurance. According to God, patience is the value of time. Patience, endurance, is the value of time. And what we're going to see just right now is that patience is the fruit of the Spirit that each and every one of us need in order to trust God with the time he has given us. Patient endurance is the fruit of the Spirit that each and every one of us need right now, today, right now, in order to trust God with the time he has given us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to be running through Hebrews chapter 10, and we're going to skip over 11 briefly and then land on 12. And here we go. The writer of Hebrews is writing to the nation of Israel, and they are faced persecution. They're facing a crisis of faith right now, and so this letter was written to them to encourage them and to strengthen them, to remind them to keep their eyes focused on the Lord and to keep their eyes focused on what's important, to have patient endurance in the midst of trials and tribulations. And so we're going to pick it up in verse 19 of chapter 10. And I want you to look at this. This is, for me, when I read over this, it's like the framework of our faith. This is where the composition of our faith is, the constitution of our faith. And here it is. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. And by his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us then go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, full assurance of faith. For our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. So let us then hold tightly, grip firmly, a hold without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promises. All right, so here amen, right? That is a beautiful passage of scripture. This is the framework of our faith, that we, because of the work that Christ has done and the blood that he shed, we are now able to enter in boldly into the presence of God. That the separation between us and God has been removed forever because of the incredible work of Jesus Christ. And we are now free to enter boldly into his presence without shame and without guilt because of what Jesus has done. He has opened up the way for you and for me to be in the presence of God. Amen. This is beautiful. This is beautiful stuff. And so he says, it goes on in verse 35. Fast forward to verse 35. The writer then says, so if this is the case, if this is our faith and what it's established on, if this is what our faith is formed upon, then let us draw near to God in full assurance of faith, that confidence that we have. And here it is in verse 35. He says, he's saying to them, he's encouraging them, so guys, don't throw away that confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward that it's bringing you. All right, so what the author's doing right now, he's taking their eyes and he's causing them to envision the finish line here. Guys, I want you to stop looking at what's in front of you, and I want you to put the eyes of your mind on the end result. And that end result, that finish line, is entrenched in the work of Jesus Christ. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord who has done all the work for you. Remember the reward it brings to you. And here it is. Patient endurance is what you need now. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that is promised. Do not throw away the confidence in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings to you. What you and I need right now is patient endurance so that we will continue in God's will. That's what we need. In order to live in the life that God has called us to live and to travel this journey of faith that is a long journey, we need patient endurance. And so we see here this incredible connection between having patience and endurance and receiving the promise and the reward. You see that? There's a connection there between patient endurance and receiving the reward at the end. Being patient, enduring in faith, allows us to continue in God's will. And it's what we need in order to receive what was promised, the reward. You see, without patient endurance in our lives on this journey of faith, there's two outcomes. If we're not committed to patient endurance in this journey of faith, there's two outcomes. The first outcome, or one outcome, is this, is that you're going to quit. Because it's taken God too long to bring about his promises. It's just taking you too long, God. You said this was going to happen. You said that was going to happen. I put my faith in you here. It hasn't happened according to my timeline. So God, you're just taking too long. I quit. And what happens is that you grow weary in the waiting on God. And what begins to happen is you loosen that once tight grip of your confession of hope. It begins to loosen. And what was once tight grip that you held firmly to, that confession of hope, is now loosened. Okay? That's one outcome. The other outcome is that you hustle ahead of God. You run way ahead of him because you want more than what God has for you in that moment. Like, God, I don't have the patience to wait on you, so I'm going to forge my own destiny. I'm going to plow forward and create my own path on this journey. I'm tired of waiting around for you, God. You said this was going to happen, so I'm going to make sure it happens. And this is something that we have picked up in our culture, in our society. It's very dangerous. If I'm not going to stand up and fight for myself and fend for myself, then I'm going to have to forge through and do it for myself. If nobody else is going to do it, then I'm going to have to do it for myself. When really what God is asking us to do is to patiently endure and trust him through it. Patiently endure and trust him through it. Patient endurance is what you need now. It's what I need now so that you and I will continue on to do God's will. And so after chapter 10, the author keeps writing, and he's writing in chapter 11, and most of you know this chapter, Hebrews 11, known as the chapter of faith. And in this chapter, you have this all-star lineup of men and women of faith who have gone before us, who have persevered, who have patiently endured the journey of faith. And they're listed there, and they're an encouragement to us, right? To keep on keeping on. They're an encouragement to us. And in verse 13 of chapter 11, I don't have it up there, and you don't have to write, you might want to write it down, but there's a a very, very interesting passage of scripture and verse. It says this in verse 13. After it's listed all those people, Moses, Abraham, Jacob, Enoch, Noah, Sarah, it says all these people died still believing what God had promised them. And they did not receive what was promised. But they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. That is powerful. That is powerful. All these people died. These great heroes of our faith, they died still believing what God had promised. And though they did not receive what was promised, they saw it from a distance and they welcomed it. In other words, their eyes were looking ahead to what God has promised. They were looking far. Their eyes of their minds, their faith was reaching far beyond what they could see in the moment. And without wavering, they kept one foot in front of the other, step by step, one step after another, through all different circumstances, they demonstrated patient endurance and faith. And not a single one of them received what was promised. And yet they kept their eyes locked on God and His promises. They took God at His word, knowing that His word is true, knowing that that God keeps His promises, knowing that He is faithful, knowing that whatever lies ahead, according to the promises of God, is going to far outweigh the present. And they locked their eyes on that confident hope and trust that is founded upon the work, entrenched in the work of Jesus Christ. They kept their eyes on that. You see, faith is about having a bigger picture. It's about seeing the finish line even though you can't see the finish line. It's about knowing that there is a finish line and that a finish line has been established by God, the one who created all things, the one who has given you new life. That's what faith is. And then you can turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. And so after the author of Hebrews writes this long, awesome chapter of chapter 11, and he's listing out these great heroes of faith, and he goes on, he says this, speaking of them, he says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us then strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up and entangles us." That word there means the sin that keeps getting you to fall over, sidetracking sins. "And let us run with patient endurance." That word says endurance. Many of your translations say endurance, but the word is patient endurance, the race that God has set before. And we do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy that awaited him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he's seated in the place of high honor beside God's throne. Liz, could you come on up, please? And just Liz for today. And just play the piano behind us, please. Thank you. When I was reading and developing this message this morning, it just kept hitting me that same phrase. Patient endurance is what you need. Patient endurance is what you need. Patient endurance is what you need. And that was in chapter 10, verse 36. Patient endurance is what each and every one of us needs right now. That's the word that was there. Patient endurance is what you need now. And what I love about the word now is that it's also 10 seconds from now. And it's also an hour from now, and it's also a year from now, because now is in the present. What you need every minute of the journey of faith is patient endurance. It's what we need right now as the body of Christ in this day and age. Patient endurance. It's not something that is consistent with our lifestyles. It's something that is so countercultural to how we are developing into impatient people. It's something that we have to hold on to and establish into our families and to teach our children, because it's not something that they're familiar with. Patient endurance is to see something develop and to wait upon things to develop is such a foreign concept to so many people. But we, as the people of God who are traveling this journey of faith in 2019 and continuing on until the last breath, we need patient endurance now. It's what I need in my life. It's what you need in your life. It's what we need on this journey of faith in order to press on towards the finish. in order to press on towards the goal to which we have been called. In order to continue on in God, to continue on in His promises, in order to live a life that's worthy of the calling He has on our life. And I want you to see in that passage that we just read, there's something very important about being able to have this patient endurance in running the race. There's something there in that verse that in order to have patient endurance that we need in the journey of faith, we have to strip off all the dead weight. We have to strip off all the dead weight. Because what that dead weight is that it's slowing you down and it's keeping you from advancing. It's keeping you from moving forward in Christ Jesus. And I think it's important that we look here at could you put on verse 1, please, for me? It's important to see the distinction here. He says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. And a lot of translations, it says, and the sin that so easily entangles us. So there's a distinction here between the things that are weighing us down that may not be necessarily sin. But you know what they are, and I know what they are in my life, and they are slowing us down and keeping us from enduring. Maybe for you, it's needing to have control in areas, right? Maybe it's needing to have affirmation from somebody else. Maybe for you it's nicotine. Maybe it's alcohol. Maybe it's something of that nature, something that you turn to rather than turning to God in order to deal with the things that are going on in your life. It's a dead weight that is slowing you down and preventing you from pursuing and having patient endurance in Christ. The greatest danger that we all have on our journey of faith is just like every other follower of Christ, like all the Israelites, the greatest danger that we have on our journey of faith is the temptation to return to the land from which we came. The comforts of the land from which we came. And like anybody who is preparing for a race or preparing for endurance, if you ask them, they'll tell you that the discipline that they need, the thing that they need is discipline in that long race. Discipline. Consistency. And that is the same thing is true with our journey of faith. It takes discipline. We must put aside, church, and strip off and cast off every weight that is slowing us down. What are the things in your life that are holding you down, that are weighing you down, that are causing you to get frustrated, that are causing you to get impatient, that are causing you to grow weary and frustrated? You know what those things are. These things are simply dead weight that keep you from devoting greater time, greater attention to what God has and His purposes for your life. They will weigh you down. They will stunt your spiritual growth. And they have to be stripped off. They have to be stripped off. If not, then you will be weighed down and you will grow weary and you'll find yourself wanting to give up. And then he mentions sin. He mentions these sins that so easily trip us up, and we each know those sins in our lives, often referred to as besetting sins, right? Those sins that keep coming back and keep annoying us. They repeatedly get the best of us. The sins that over and over and over again keep us from growing as we could in our relationship with God. Strip them off. Strip off the dead weight. Because patient endurance is what we need on the journey of faith. And you cannot have patience, you cannot have what you need if we're weighed down by the things that keep us from God. You can't have patient endurance if we're weighed down with these things in our lives. So drop the weight. Drop the weight today. I had to drop the weight this morning. What are the things in your life that are holding you back? There's a call here in this passage of Scripture. And if you look at the progression of what the author is trying to encourage them with, he's saying, guys, this is your faith. This is the truth of your faith. This is what makes your faith, the entrenched in the work of Jesus Christ and what He's done in your life. Hold firmly to that hope, that confident trust in Him. Do not let go of it, because your reward is at the end. Patient endurance is what you need. And then he goes on and says, now strip off everything that's weighing you down so that you can run this race with endurance, so that you can travel this journey of faith with patient endurance, trusting in God when you can't see God necessarily at work. Hold firmly onto him. Drop the weight. It's weighing you down. And you're getting tired and you're getting frustrated and you're not growing. You want to give up. All because you want to hang on to the temporary things of this world rather than laying them down so that you can experience the eternal things of God. And it's the eternal things of God that are our reward, church. It's the eternal things of God that are our reward. And so to travel the journey of faith with endurance requires us to give up whatever it is that's endangering our relationship with God and to run patiently. Patiently. Close up this morning. I love the fact that God is so gracious in telling us the way in which to do this. It's simple. In order to live effectively on this journey, with patient endurance, it's just simply, verse 2, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Don't keep your eyes fixed on sin. Don't keep your eyes fixed on the sin that you're trying to avoid or the things that you're trying to avoid. That's not the way to get through something. That's like if you're trying to lose weight, and you go to Pizza Hut and you look at a pizza menu and you're staring at what you're trying to avoid, the temptation is only going to be there all the more. So the thing that the writer here is trying to tell us is the answer to this is to fix your eyes and lock them on Jesus, who is the initiator of your faith, the one that even set you out on this journey in the first place, the one who's already at the finish line. He's already completed this race and he's led us there. He's leading us there, trusting him the whole way. Patient endurance, keeping your eyes locked on the one who is the finisher, the author and the finisher of our faith, the one who brings it all to completion. Just as a runner must keep his eyes focused on the finish line, we must focus on Jesus, the one who sees the finish line. Could you throw up that last picture for me, please, as we bring this to a close? Most of you have seen these kind of pictures, the sport of rowing. This is a sport, I think, that we could all say need endurance, right? There's something very interesting about this photo here and the sport about these people who are running, who are doing the endurance. Look at the men who need the endurance. Right? They don't know the direction they're going. They can't see the finish line. There's one person on this team that can see the finish line, and he's sitting in the front. His back is to us. He's the member on the team that can see the finish line, and that man is responsible for helping them with endurance. And they keep their eyes locked on that man. They keep their eyes locked on that teammate because he's the one that's shouting, pull, pull, row, row. And the guys have to keep their eyes locked on this guy because what he is doing is he's keeping them in rhythm. And he's keeping them on track. They are trusting him, the one who can see the finish line. And it's a perfect picture for us today. As we travel this journey of faith, and we can't see the finish line, you keep your eyes locked on the one who can, because he's going to keep you in rhythm, he's going to keep you in the timing that he needs you to be in, and he can see the finish line, he keeps you on track, and he will ensure that you get there and finish the race. Amen? Would you stand with me this morning? And let's pray. This morning, if you don't know where you're headed, put your eyes on Jesus. And that's all of us. Not any of us have any clue where we're headed. We have a finish line that we have glimpses of in Scripture. But more than anything, we have the one who has gone before us, the one who has even established our faith. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. He knows where the finish line is, and he knows how to get you there. And what he also needs is that each and every one of us right now needs patient endurance, especially at this time, this day, in this age. I don't know if this is a more important message when talking about faith to a next generation is patient endurance. It's absolutely vital so that we will continue on in the will of God. So let's just bow our eyes. Yeah, you know what I mean. Let's just attend to God right now. Let your heart and your mind and your spirit just be open to him right now. And And let's just pray together. Lord, I thank you that you are the perfect example for us to follow. I thank you, Lord, that you have already crossed the finish line and that there is a reward that you promise is waiting us there. And God, it's going to be incredible. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be amazing. God, but what we need right now in this moment, and we recognize it as we've come face to face with your word, is that what we need right now on our journey of faith to get there is patient endurance. God, I pray that you will awaken this need in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, each and every day. The trusting you while we wait. The knowing that you are developing things in our path as we wait upon you. And that on this journey of faith, it's all about your rhythm. It's all about your timing. It's all about how you see things. It's all about you seeing the finish line and getting us to that finish line. It's your course, Lord God. It's your path. It's your journey. God, I pray that you would empower us to let go and to strip off all the weight that's slowing us down and causing us to grow weary. And the sin, Lord God, that entangles us and gets the best of us at times. And Lord God, would you empower us? Would you give us as we gaze upon you and we focus our eyes fixed upon you, help us to strip these things off, God, so that we can run this race with patient endurance. So that we continue on in your will for this time, this day, this very hour that you've called us to be alive. So, Lord God, once again, we submit ourselves to you. You are the author of our faith. You're the perfecter of our faith. You complete it all. So, God, in this moment, we give ourselves to you and we ask these things to come to fruition in our lives. As we lay them down at your feet and we open it up to you, we ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus.